I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right,
yeah! On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. One of the best to chat with when it comes to the NBA, Keith Smith. You can follow him on Twitter, at Keith Smith NBA, contributor to Spot Rack. Kind enough to join us. Keith, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
So are you you buying into the thought that Boston can come back in this series after winning the last two games? Do you give them a shot here?
Oh, yeah, I'm more than bought in. I'm overflowing with belief that they may get this done. It's, you know, kind of unbelievable that we are, you know, the journey here was very different. But we are in a spot where the Celtics have been the last 2 years, which was down 3-2 to the Bucks, having lost, early, going on the road for Game 6. And then the same thing just a round ago against Philadelphia 76ers, down 3-2, going on the road for Game 6. They don't like to make it easy on themselves, but they've been here and done that before, even if the path to this point is very different.
Well, the most disturbing thing through this was some of the conversation about Joe Mazzulla maybe losing connection with his team, and it feels like that may have been rediscovered. Was too much made of that, that Mazzulla is not the right man, but maybe he had lost his locker room?
Yeah, you know, the last locker room stuff kind of came out of nowhere. I hadn't heard that from the people I talked to around the team. There were definitely people who thought he might be in a little over his head, especially against Eric Spoelstra, who for my money is the best coach in the game today. So there was definitely that thought. But as far as, you know, the players having belief in him and trust in him, that never seemed to really be a thing that had come up. But, you know, those are the kind of things that get said when you're losing, when you're down unexpectedly 3-0 in a series, that, you know, everybody wants to try to place blame somewhere, and it generally seems to be easiest to just throw that blame on the coach.
So, given the fact there's been a lot of owners and GMs right now with a itchy trigger finger when it comes to firing coaches, and a lot of really good coaches on the open market, had the Celtics lost Game 4, do you think that they would have made a move?
I don't think they would have, only because they had just given him a long-term contract only a few months ago. It was right before the All-Star break when they said, you know, all right, he's going to take over as the full-time, or removing the interim tag. And by all reports, they'd extended his deal. And that generally means, you know, they probably added at least, you know, somewhere between 2 and 3 years to that deal. And I don't think they were going to be in a position where they were going to want to eat that contract, pay him. I think, you know, they've got an extremely expensive roster. Brad Stevens is still making a coach salary to run the front office, which is, you know, that's probably got him, you know, up in the upper tier of, you know, what front office execs are making. And then you would have Mazzulla paying him to not coach the team. That didn't seem, you know, where this was headed to me, even if, you know, there was some merit to the idea of, hey, we might need to, you know, make a change here. We might have rushed into hiring this guy too soon. But, you know, as with all things, you know, you let things play out, and sometimes a better story is written after the fact.
As you've seen Boston now recover from the 3-0 and get to a 3-2, what have been the biggest changes that you have seen in those two games and two wins?
Yeah, I mean, at the risk of sounding snarky, a lot of it is they're making their shots. You know, they're getting the same looks, but they're making them now. And that's, you know, been the difference in the last couple of games. The first couple of games, they just couldn't make anything. They were getting great looks. They just weren't knocking them down. But that said, you know, there have been some changes. Grant Williams is playing more. He's just a good player out there for the Celtics. There's a lot of things that are very helpful for them. Joe Mazzulla has made a couple changes over the last couple games. The Heat have been very aggressive about putting two on the ball, whether it be in the zone and sending the help either from the corner man or from the other topside defender, or in pick and roll actions, you know, just staying two on the ball, especially against Tatum and Brown. What Mazzulla's done is he's lifted somebody right there to be a very easy outlet, you know, to those guys, and whether that guy gets the shot or then they move, and now you've got them kind of caught in the blender. And then defensively, they've been extremely aggressive the last couple games. They're digging down hard whenever Miami puts the ball on the floor and those kind of things. And in that game last night, the Heat tried to run a lot of stuff through Bam Adebayo, 25, 30 feet from the basket. And the Celtics said, great, let's do it. Let's see if he's up to being a ball handler and playmaker instead of a, you know, a DHO guy finding guys on backdoor cuts. We're going to really press up into him, and it caused a real lot of problems for Miami.
So Jimmy Butler afterwards said, we're okay, we're fine. Everybody's got all smiles. We're going to be okay. We'll close this thing out in Game 6. But that pressure cooker is now really intensifying in that Miami locker room. How do you think they respond going back home for Game 6?
Yeah, I think all the pressure is on them now. That's not to say it's all of a sudden not a disappointment if the Celtics lose or anything like that, because it is. You know, everybody expected them to get back to the finals at the very least, and when the matchups came out, it was expected, and falling down 3-0. You know, definitely not what anyone thought. But now it's 3-2. Now the pressure's on Miami. You have to get this closed out. I cannot imagine them losing that game and going into Boston on Memorial Day. Everybody's been off all day and might enjoy a beverage or two, you know, before the game starts, and what that environment might be like on Memorial Day night there in Boston. I think, you know, I can't imagine them going into there and winning. But, you know, I think to some extent, though, Jimmy Butler's right in saying, hey, we have to win one. They have to win two. You know, and he feels good. Now, I will say, he said this a year ago, too, that, you know, they were going back home and they were going to win, you know, Game 7, and they were going to get it all closed out and finished off, and that didn't happen either. So, you know, to this point, you know, we'll see, you know, how it goes, but I definitely agree with you that the pressure has turned way towards Miami's side.
I guess in a side note here, I'm just curious, what was Boston's reaction when they lost Will Hardy out here to the Utah Jazz?
Yeah, I think, you know, at that time, you know, the Ime Udoka stuff hadn't surfaced. So they were all very happy for him to get that opportunity. They were excited, obviously, you know, bummed to lose him because he is such, you know, was such a big part of that staff, and they liked him. I've talked to folks who said, had that not played out the way it played out, he would have been the guy that would have gotten bumped into the top spot, and he would have been the guy, you know, leading the team. But at the time, they were very happy. I think, you know, if they had the time machine, they'd go back and do what they could to keep him around, you know, knowing, you know, that they were going to need a head coach, you know, only a couple months later. But, you know, at the time, yeah, they were extremely happy for him.
If you're the Denver Nuggets, who do you prefer coming out of the East?
Yeah, that's a good question. I got to believe it's still Miami. I just think Denver's going to look at that and say, we can get some stuff done defensively against these guys. They're not a great offensive team. I think they're going to look at it and say, there's some attack points that we can go against. I imagine, you know, Michael Malone and his staff have been kind of in the lab looking at both of these teams and trying to draw it up. And I think, you know, the Celtics, when they're playing well, they look like they're the best team in the NBA. The question is, are they going to play well, you know, for enough games in a series? But Miami, even when they're winning games, doesn't look like a dominant team that's going to, you know, run you out of the gym. So I think they got to prefer Miami, but you know, I think for now that they're doing the right thing by kind of saying, hey, it doesn't really matter to us. We're going to be ready either way come game one.
So as you now look at the potential and the run to the finals with Denver coming out of the West, how do you see Boston doing if they do come out of the East, and how do you see Miami doing if they do come out of the East against this Denver Nugget team?
I think Boston has a better chance to beat them than Miami does, because I think the Celtics can cause them some problems by defending them. Their perimeter defenders are better, but they still don't have great options to throw at Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And then, you know, the Celtics do a pretty good job of, when they're playing the right way, they kind of get into your players that you're less confident in defensively, let's put it that way. And the Nuggets have a handful of those guys, and I think they could throw a lot of different looks at Nikola Jokic, probably Al Horford to star, Rob Williams probably see some time on him. And then I think, you know, Grant Williams has done a nice job on Jokic over the years, because he'll just get up in underneath him and annoy him and do all the kind of things that you know, you expect him to do in a series. I think Miami, you know, I'm not going to count them out, because they, you know, every time you do, they come back and win. But I think it's just a little harder for them. And then I think the Heat, it feels like they're kind of limping to the finish line here. They've got a lot of guys who are banged up and injured. They're picking up seemingly more injuries every game. I mean, Kyle Lowry, Bam Adebayo, and Caleb Barton all kind of limped out of that game five. So we'll see what they look like by the time they get there.
So when you when you look at, and I know you've got ties to Danny Ainge and you've covered him, he's got a treasure chest of picks. He's got salary cap space. Is this the summer where the Jazz get crazy, or do you think that they kind of sit back and wait a little bit longer? How aggressive do you think this team is in this offseason?
Yeah, they're sitting in a really great spot, because what's going to happen, I think, this summer and into next year, we're kind of in a two-year window for all these really expensive teams to get their books in order with the new kind of, I call it the super tax coming in with all the penalties for being, you know, super expensive, like the Warriors, the Clippers have been, the Nets, where they were previously. So I think what we're seeing is we're going to see some teams probably move on by a trade from some pretty good players, just because it's going to be, if we want to be able to do anything else with our roster, we need to rebalance this thing. And I think Danny Ainge is going to be sitting there saying, hey, we got $40 million in cap space. Let's talk. You know, let's see what we can do. And knowing Danny Ainge, it'll probably be, I'll get a good player, and just for helping you out, throw me a pick or two along the way, because that just seems to be the way he operates in these trades. But I don't know that this is the summer for them to kind of, let's go all in, let's make it happen. I think it's probably one more summer of let's build, let's continue to retool. But you know, just taking that approach, that found them some pretty good players this past summer. So I think it's just, you know, hey, let's continue that work. Let's, you know, slow and steady this thing versus trying to push all in too early.
You were mentioning teams that may have some availability and some movement. What do you think happens with Golden State after being eliminated?
Yeah, I just got to believe they're going to re-sign Draymond Green. I just have a hard time believing both sides will say, yeah, that's enough, let's move on. I think they're going to come to their senses and realize they're better together. But I think a guy like Jordan Poole may be very available this summer. I think Jordan Poole, some players just aren't good coming off the bench. We've seen that over the years. Some guys can't adapt to it. I believe it's a real skill to be a good player off the bench. That's why guys like Jamal Crawford and Lou Williams had, you know, long, long careers coming off the bench, because they were very, very good at it. Jordan Poole just doesn't seem like he's quite as good when that's his role. So I do think they may say, all right, we got to kind of do something to rebalance our books a little bit, to kind of get ourselves back in a place. And my guess is that may mean Jordan Poole's on the move. We'll see about Jonathan Kuminga. There's a lot of stuff. He's making a lot of noise about, hey, I want a real chance to play. And I think their main core, probably back, Curry, Thompson, Green, Wiggins, Looney, and then they'll try to build out their bench depth a little bit differently behind those guys. I can't imagine they're going to break it up now.
So the Denver Nuggets are just going to sit back and wait and wait and wait. Is there a rest versus rust conversation to have with this team? Do you think it affects them one way or another?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, one thing, of course, everybody's dealing with bumps and bruises at this time of year. But it's not like the Nuggets had a guy who was, oh, you know, he was going to miss the last half of that Western Conference Finals because of a rolled ankle, and now he'll be back. They didn't have anybody like that. They're, you know, about as healthy as they've been all season going into to this NBA Finals. So I do think now you're in a position where, hey, it was great to, you know, sit for a while and, you know, put your feet up and get all this preparation time. But I do think, you know, there is something to be said for, you know, live action going against another team. I think we could see game one be a little bit bumpy for them just because, you know, they haven't played against anybody. And, you know, by that point, it'll probably be about a week and a half when the NBA Finals starts for them. So I think rest versus rust is absolutely something we're going to have our eyes on.
I know you got to go, but I do want to throw this question at you. What did the Boston front office or what did Boston fans think about Houston signing Ime Udoka? Was there some bad blood there?
A little bit to some extent. You had some who were, because they were upset about the Joe Mazzulla stuff, the way it was going, that were like, man, they blew this. They, you know, should have been more patient and just worked with Ime Udoka, which was never going to be a thing. That was never going to happen. But for the most part, I think most Celtics fans, when you can get them there, their basic feeling is like, hey, we're done. We're moving on from this. It's over. Like, we got to, you know, go a different direction because it wasn't going to ever happen here again.
Mm. Well, hey, we appreciate your time. Thanks for carving out a few moments for us, Keith, and look forward to catching up with you again sometime.
Thanks, Keith.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
You got it, Keith Smith. You follow him on Twitter, at KeithSmithNBA. And, again, does a tremendous job. Writes for the Celtics blog, Front Office Show, and Spot Rack as well.
He thinks that Boston has more than a chance to come back and win this series.
I do as well, although I don't. I think they've got a great chance. I just don't think it's going to happen.
I still think Miami's still in that 75-85% range.
Ooh. What percentage? I would say, yeah, I'd say probably 70 to 75. I don't know if I can go 80. But
I remember our first assignment when Miami got to the 3-0, we assigned a percentage. I was at 2%. I think you were at like 10.
Yeah.
9 or 10%. I can't remember. Somewhere in that range. I thought there was no chance, but as they climb a little bit closer, it's looking better and better. I talked about this in the first segment. The reason I would give them more chance than any other team that was in a 3-0 deficit in a postseason best-of-seven series is because it's a 2-8 situation.
Yeah.
Boston is a better team. They were supposed to beat Miami. Miami, everybody felt like Miami just matched up well and got a little lucky when the Freak was off the court in that first series. New York was not a good team. And everybody felt like Miami was just catching all the breaks and that they were lucky to even be there in the Eastern Conference Finals. I feel like Boston thought that to a certain extent and then got a big dose of reality, a big bucket of cold water thrown in their face going down 3-0. And the hardest thing to do is to actually eliminate a team.
Yeah.
And Miami is just sitting there right now, and they're going to press. They are going to press in Game 6.
Oh, yeah.
They know if it goes to Game 7 back to TD Garden, they don't have it. They're going to lose it. They're going to be the first one 179 to lose it. But out of the 179 0-3 deficits, that it is an 0-179 that have lost in that series, I can't imagine we've seen a 3-0 deficit from an 8 seed being the 3 wins and a 2 seed being the 0 wins. So this is just a different scenario than we've seen. So I do give them more of a chance, the potential to come back.
Well, and I think of the teams that have been down 0-3, I think of the 179, I think only 11 have got it even to a Game 6. So they're already in uncharted territory.
Yeah.
So why not just finish the whole thing?
Well, I got to imagine that Miami's going to be excited because they're getting Vincent back, or they should get Vincent back in Game 6, the guard that scored 29 points and caught everybody's attention. Jimmy Butler might have some of the attention pulled off of him. I've seen some of the rumors that swirl of they didn't care about Game 5 because they want to go home and win it in front of their home crowd in Game 6.
No,
that's how that crap works.
No. They would have wanted to win it in Game 4
their
home crowd. Yeah.
That is not how that stuff works.
No.
And they're going to press. Game 6, they're going to press.
Yeah.
And if they come out and they clank a couple early threes, and they're in the second quarter, and they are 2 of 12 or 3 of 12 from 3, then they're going to start really swirling, because that's what Jimmy Butler talked about in the postgame after game 5. He said a couple guys started missing some shots and they get down in the dumps, but we know that's not going to be the case in game 6. When you're living and dying at the 3, it can be the case in any game. And when you're up 3-0 and you got the press to get this 2 seed out, all the pressure's on you. The pressure's on you.
Yeah.
I know you're playing with house money, but you're at a 3-0. Now the pressure's on you. You've got your house money, but now you're seeing, I could get to the final table. I might win the bracelet. And the pressure, because it falls on you.
Yeah.
Boston's like, geez, man, 0-3. I guess if we do it at this point, we do it. If not, we lose our head coach. So it's actually turned into quite the series.
All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Olsen, assemble.
Yeah, man.
They're all here, man.
Yeah, it is. It's fun to see the crew.
You even got Clark down here.
Yeah, Dad came down. He wanted to see Fat Cats. I don't know. Maybe Dad's a bowler.
Yeah, bring him by. Let's bring Clark by.
Story time.
No.
Come on.
Only if Richard's here.
Nope.
We'll put the headset on both of them.
Yeah, that would not end well for either of us. Austin's with us right now. We're live here at Fat Cats, the new Bluffdale location. It is the first day that this place is opened and ready to go, man. This is awesome.
Hey, the coolest thing is Fat Cats is all indoors. Looks like it's going to start raining out there, so better get here and get out of the rain.
Oh, man, we got bowling alleys ready for you. We got piping hot food. You talked about the fry display. We got the arcades. We got things to keep you busy for as long as you need.
Yeah, come kick off the weekend watching a movie in our luxury seats. Get your food delivered right to you. Get some good popcorn. Yeah, all the good stuff here.
Well, and the arcade, we're giving away $10 arcade passes, which, again, arcades are half off until
June 9th. Yeah, 2-week grand opening special. Yeah, half off arcade.
So you can come by and take this card, and then there's a little kiosk over there. You can load it up with how much you want and get 50% off of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you'll get all the games are marked down half off. And, yeah, we're not skimping on our prizes or any of that kind of stuff or manipulating them. It's like, yeah, come play. You're going to win some prizes. It's good stuff.
How's Bluffdale been, the community and the experience getting yourself to this point?
Let's just say I'm really glad we're open, because I'm sick of answering when are you opening kind of questions. So
there's
a lot of good
people
excitement.
Driving up trying to open the door.
Oh, I'm sure.
No, it's been great. I love the support that is surrounded this. This is unlike anything they have in this area. Of course, they have, you know, Riverton and Draper have some things, but here in Bluffdale, it's one of the probably their biggest business that's open. They're excited and they've been gracious hosts.
Well, when I was driving up to it, and I look over and I'm like, holy crap! I mean, that looks like an arena. Like, I mean, the overall size of this thing is just massive.
Yeah.
When you see it off the road, like, these guys aren't messing around.
Yeah, it's 61,000 square feet. It's huge. It's in a brand-new development, so it's the first thing here, so it does make it pop. It's got great views right from Bangor, so Bangor and Redwood, you can't miss us.
It's so fun, man. Go sit back in those reclining chairs, all those sofas that they've got in the theater rooms, and you order your food and they bring it up to you, and you've got these trays that fold in front of you, and it's the full nine yards when it comes to just a relaxing, comfortable movie watching experience. You're not crammed in hip to hip on bench seating. This is all luxury seating, and it's really nice.
Yeah, it's super convenient to have those trays so you can bring your food and eat. It's not like you're juggling stuff. We'll bring the food right to you. Another cool thing, you have those privacy walls. You just kind of feel like you have the whole row and the whole theater to yourself, in a sense. And all these first-run movies, got Little Mermaid, you got Fast 10, Guardians, still got Mario, all these good ones out right now.
Have you seen the Fast 10?
Not yet. I need to go see it this weekend here at Bluffdale, I guess.
I've never watched a Fast and Furious movie.
Oh,
not even
on.
The first?
Not even the first one.
I've only seen the first.
That's the best one. But
the first is great.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah, I remember seeing that one in theaters, and every person leaving there was trying to think they were in the movie. It was pretty awesome. Yeah.
They come walking out to their Honda Civic and be like, all right, let's go.
I was down in Provo Town. Oh, it was so funny. That's a lasting memory I always have of that movie.
I'm not going to lie, man. I got in my car and took it from the automatic over to the manual.
Oh, yeah. You made business when that's happening.
And I got my little clickers on the steering wheel.
Good stuff, man.
Get down here. It's the new Fat Cats in Bluffdale. It's opening day, 13901 Redwood here in Bluffdale. Let's go. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Wherever you go, the Zone will be right there with you every step of the way. It's the all-new KSL Sports app.
I love it.
Where you can listen to the Zone wherever you may be.
Listen to me, this stuff is available everywhere.
It's your new home for streaming the Zone and getting all the latest news, insight, and analysis of the teams you can't live without. It's the all-new KSL Sports app. Available now wherever you shop for apps.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
The wheel is loaded, and it's time to talk some sports. This is Sports Roulette with Hanson Scotty on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Nope. He's not doing that, Lloyd. What? We're starting the show over.
I'm glad that you,
No, okay, that's fine. We can restart the show, but you have to read that right here.
I don't have to read it right now.
Well, it's
we'll get it in at some point.
We'll get to it.
So, Lloyd, is it just because it's a Friday, you just want to kick things off again?
Keep the
you
show
know,
going?
We've had such a good day, I just wanted to keep going.
Because why
want
not,
it to end.
Right? Just reset it.
Yeah. Let's all right. Again. It's Sports Roulette. We take some. See, look, Lloyd makes a mistake, and it's like, not a big deal. I mispronounce one word, and we're going to spend probably the next 2 months talking about
no,
it.
No, we won't.
Or until whenever this event happens.
Yeah, but it was a great word.
It was.
Yeah, man, it was a classic mistake.
Hey, by the way, guess what Maddie just sent? The link to the online ballot. For the 60 and 60.
Meaning what? That it's votable?
Yeah. Well, not to the public. That will start on Tuesday. So you, the public, can start voting on Tuesday. But the media ballots will be going out here very soon.
So just a reminder to everybody, our listeners have an opportunity to affect the outcome of the 60 and 60. Just a reminder from last year, our first year allowing the public vote.
Correct.
One university showed up.
Yes.
And the public vote swayed heavy one way.
It was BYU.
We'll only give you a hint. Three letters. B, Y, and U.
Yes.
If you want your players to have a shot at the public vote, you've got to show up and you've got to vote.
Now, we did do a couple of adjusting, and I'm looking at the media ballot right now, which will be exactly the same. And so, essentially, what will be done? So last year we just had everything alphabetical by school, so that may have impacted things. So we had the big collection of BYU players,
yeah,
and then Utah players, and then Utah State players, and then Weber State,
yeah,
because it was alphabetical. This year, Maddie, because we mentioned, okay, that might have been a problem because people complained about it, and Utah fans, well, no wonder everybody saw the BYU play. So what we did is she just randomized everything. So this is not by, it's just a complete randomizer. So you've got a scattering of Utah, BYU, Utah State players.
So those of you that think that we take your complaints and file it in the trash can.
No.
We do not file your complaints in the trash can.
Well, most of them we do, but some of them have merit.
But some, because Scotty rose that question in one of our big meetings. He's like, okay, this is one thing. It's a point of concern. We need to have Utah State players at the top.
No.
No,
let's not do this.
He said,
jeez.
Not you two. A two brute. No.
A two brute. He said, we got to randomize it, and that is what has been done.
So you might see Cam Rising show up at the bottom of this list. Doesn't mean he's the very last.
But you got to move him to the top.
but he should probably be moved towards the top.
The way that they've got this thing as the ranker, I love that too.
Yeah, it's really easy.
Easy format.
You just click and slide.
Yeah.
It's real simple.
Put them where you want to put them.
Yep.
And I think that this list is going to be one of the tougher lists we've ever had to deal with.
Yeah, good luck to all you voting right now. All right, let's get to it. We got a bunch of headlines on the old wheel. So, Lloyd, let's fire it up, shall we?
Enough is enough.
All right, I'm going to take you back to October 10th, Scotty.
Yeah.
Monday Night Football. Raiders and Chiefs.
Okay.
Chiefs get the win. Raiders are leaving the field. Davante Adams shoves a photographer.
Yes.
The photographer falls to the ground. That goes back to October 10th. The man's name is Park Zebley. Well, he is now officially filing a major lawsuit, not just against Davante Adams, but against the Chiefs as well. He claimed to have suffered whiplash, headaches.
Headaches? Oh, yeah, you just beat me to it.
He had a concussion.
Emotional. You said headaches, I think, when this went down, Scotty. Yeah. You already said this.
Please say emotional distress.
It does not clarify emotional distress, but loss of work and other things.
Okay, well, yeah.
So at the time, he was a freelance photographer for ESPN, and Adams was charged with misdemeanor assault, remember, following the event.
Correct.
He also sent out an immediate apology on social media, which then he quickly deleted. Well, here we are 7.5 months later.
He deleted the apology?
Yes. Here we are 7.5 months later, and Zebley has now decided to file the lawsuit. A municipal misdemeanor battery charge is not sufficient. This is what Zebley said. I'm looking for justice.
Oh, boy.
You can't shove someone down and walk off like it didn't happen. Not in real life. Not only has he named Adams as a defendant, but he's also suing the Raiders, the Chiefs,
the Broncos,
the Jackson County Sports Complex Authority, and the Denver Broncos. No, and Landmark Event Staffing.
Wow, everybody's getting it.
Everybody's getting sued.
Actually, you know what? Honestly, and I think this was a conversation, if memory serves me right, that didn't Adams kind of place some blame on the Chiefs for kind of funneling everybody in? And
Yes.
I do think the Chiefs actually
not
have
proper security.
Some culpability in some of this too, where he was at, and it, you know, like, I, yeah, look, should we be suing? Probably not. Did he have a concussion? I guarantee he didn't. But you can't prove if a guy had a concussion.
Can't prove
right?
it.
Oh, I whiplash.
Hate this.
Yeah.
Oh,
headaches.
I hate it so bad.
I mean, he's going to get something.
It just makes me sick. He was in the way. Adams was upset. He pushed him down. Adams issued an apology on social media. Obviously got quick advice to take that apology down, which it's too late. It's out there. The screen grab was out there.
Like, what was the apology? I don't remember why the apology was deleted.
I think he got advice of, hey, if this guy sues, that's an admission of guilt.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
So take that down. That would be my only guess.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Because it went down pretty quickly. But here we are, man. And I could not find the amount that was being asked. But when you are bringing the Raiders, the Chiefs, the Jackson County Sports Complex, Landmark Event Staffing, when you're bringing them all into it, you are looking to get rich quick.
Yeah. All right, Lloyd, spin it.
Mailman is cashing out.
So Karl Malone, in the great 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, and I don't know what happened here, but apparently, I don't know if Carl was just a jersey hound or if they had certain games where guys just handed jerseys over to everybody else. But Carl Malone, in the semifinals of the Olympics, in which the United States beat Lithuania 172-76, back in those Olympics of 92. Karl Malone pretty much got everybody's jersey from that game. Michael Jordan's, Larry Bird. He got Charles Barkley, David Robinson, Jeez. Clyde Drexler. He got all their jerseys.
The greats of the greats.
And they're all signed. And now Carl is selling them. In fact, he's selling 24 memorabilia items from the 92 Olympic team. And it is getting him $5 million. Now, let me go through some of the values of these jerseys, okay, for what they went through. So let's start with Charles Barkley's jersey from this semifinal game. That went for $230,000. David Robinson went for $116,000. Clyde Drexler went for under $100,000. He went from $92,000. Let's see who else. Larry Bird went for $360,000. He also got Larry Bird sneakers from that game. That went for $91,000. Magic Johnson went for $336,000. So you've got Larry Bird is so far the highest out of everybody with $360,000 for his jersey. Guess what? Michael Jordan's jersey went for. So you got Larry Bird is the highest outside of everybody else on the team that went for $360,000. Guess what Michael Jordan's jersey went for? Lloyd, feel free to jump in.
$1.2 million.
Lloyd, you want to make a guess?
And you said Michael Jordan's?
Michael Jordan's jersey. So of all the team outside of Michael, Larry's the highest at $360,000.
I'm going to say $1.2
million. I'm going to go 1.5?
3 million.
Oh, my gosh.
I wouldn't even guess two. Holy cow.
Michael Jordan, and it was signed. He goes, to Carl, good luck. Michael Jordan, number 9, because that's the jersey number he had, was number 9. That went for 3 million. The highest teammate after that was 360,000. In fact, how about this? This wasn't even the Olympics. It was the Tournament of the Americas that the United States played in to get to the Olympics. Karl Malone got his shoes from that tournament, and those went for $420,000. These weren't even the Olympics.
Stupid.
This was the Tournament of the Americas. Those shoes went for more than Larry Bird's jersey.
This is stupid. Okay, a few thoughts on this, Scotty. Number one, how would you feel if you're Larry Bird and Michael Jordan and you're seeing Karl Malone sell your crap? Would that not bug you?
Just called it crap.
Yeah.
Well, he had his crap.
Hey, by the way, so I guess the story, I just got a text from my nephew. What's up, Jace? Who said the story is Karl Malone's wife went through the locker and picked up all the jerseys after the game. But I guess, you know, she wasn't hiding it because they all signed him. She just picked up the jerseys and said, hey, we're going to grab these. You want to sign them?
That's not dirty. She just...
She goes, hey, if you guys are going to leave him here, I'm going to grab them all.
In the time, you wouldn't have thought those jersey held value.
And I guess all of these items, so 24 items, they were all hanging or showcased at the dealership here in Utah. And finally, Carl's like, nah, we're going to sell them all. And he sold them for $5 million collectively, obviously.
How would you feel, though, if you're Clyde Drexler or you're Larry Bird or you're one of these guys?
Well.
Wouldn't you be like, how much did you get for, how about I, can I have some of that?
I mean, Drexler's like, hey, man, it only went for $92,000.
Oh, come on. The glide should have gone for more than that.
He should have broke six figures. Come on.
And what is this about? Is this Carl? Does Carl got a kid that called and was like, Dad, I want a new cabin by the beach. And he's like, I
want a dolphin.
I want a golden dolphin, Dad.
All right, Wonka, how much you? What do you want for it?
Guess I'll sell off our Olympic
jerseys. Name your price.
Is he strapped for cash?
I can't imagine Carl's hurting for cash.
Well, why sell these?
I don't know. But $5 million for the whole lot.
Maybe he's like, I don't want my kids to have that money.
Maybe so.
There could be something there, maybe.
We'll make sure. I'm going to get that money. I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
Did Carl start a, was it a cigar company, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because remember he handed them out to all the kids at LSU?
Joe Burrow.
Oh, that's right.
One of those.
That's right. He can't be hurting for money.
No.
But why sell these jerseys for $5 million? What's that going to do?
Well, I mean, look.
This just
you,
looks
you
weird.
Did a show with Carl. You know he's weird. He's like, this stuff's taking up room. I could be hanging a stuffed mule deer where that jersey is. Let's get rid of it.
Bring up a point, bud. I never knew what direction that show was going to go.
Holmes.
No,
Holmes.
It was nearly Hoynes.
No, that's
Hoynes. Now, hear me out. What'd you say? And then.
Well, therapeutic advances of deer urine.
You know how to bring in a 8-point buck without a whistle?
No, Carl, I do not. But I have a stinking suspicion you're going to tell me.
He was unique. That show was crazy. It just seems strange that he's selling this gear.
All right. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We'll wrap this thing up. Get you ready for Unrivaled next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Jim Brown, Texas insider for Horns247.com and 24/7 Sports. When you look at the win totals for the league this year, are people on track for what Texas should be doing? And is there anybody who jumps out at you in the Big 12 who's wildly overhyped or underhyped?
Well, I think it's interesting that Vegas is setting the over-under for Oklahoma at 9.5, which is the same total that they're putting for Texas. The depth of the league. There's no easy weekend, especially now with Kansas. No one's talking about Kansas, but Kansas got off to that 5-0 start. They returned their quarterback, and Lance Leipold has done a good job of getting that program to believe. I think the depth of the Big 12 is what makes it so tough.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
On the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah!
We've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.
Let them see we're crazy. I don't care about that. Put your hand.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, wrapping up another award-winning edition of the show. It's been fun today, man. This place is
Fridays.
Hopping.
I love Fridays, and I think we need to do every Friday at Fat Cats because it just brings the energy.
Well, we just ate our weight in pizza, which is saying something. So, yeah, I mean, life is pretty good right now. We gave away 97 gift cards. We just threw away the box.
We had a meat lover's pizza that was really good, man.
Yeah.
Sausage, bacon, pepperoni, nice crust, real crispy on the bottom.
Yep.
Just like I like it. Good sauce. Now I think we need to try the chicken fingers and the fry selection just to make sure that we're not missing something.
Are your is your family out on the lanes now?
They must be. I think they got out there.
Where'd Clark run off to? I got to chat with him.
I bet he's bowling a 300.
I could see that.
I bet Pops is over there just rolling it.
Yep. Hey, by the way, before we wrap up, remember the National Hockey League is kicking off the upcoming season in Utah. Don't miss the Frozen Fury as the San Jose Sharks take on the LA Kings at the Delta Center. Hey, by the way, you see the sign up? Delta Center, it's back.
Yeah, it's back.
All installed and ready to go. October 5th. Tickets at lakings.com/frozenfury. It's all in association with the Utah Sports Commission.
My warrior pop, man, fighting through a massive heart attack, stage 4 lymphoma.
And he's out here bowling a 300.
Out here looking like he's
Pete Weber.
Who do you think I am? I am. Pete Weber? Like he's Earn McCracken.
Is that the guy's name?
Big Earn.
Yeah.
Off Kingpin?
Yeah.
I think Pete Weber's a actual bowler, isn't
he? Oh, is he?
Pete Weber's an actual bowler, yeah.
Yeah.
He's out there golf bowling like he's Roy Munson.
Roy Munson, there you go.
The fake hand.
Yeah. Well, Austin's with us. We're live here at Fat Cats. You probably... Have you ever seen a guy at Fat Cats bowl a 300 before?
I've not seen it. I've just there's legends of people doing it. I've never seen it though.
I would like to see somebody bowl a 300. That'd be cool to watch.
What, have you ever broke into the 150s?
I think once.
Have you?
Yeah. Have you broken two?
No, I haven't. I've broken. You know that I flunked bowling at BYU, right?
How do you flunk? That's because you didn't show up.
False. According to my bowling instructor. Who I guess he wanted me to call him bowling professor or whatever. I think he's a dork. I think he's a moron.
What do you think you are? I am.
Hey, does the bowl? Can you even fit your big old hands in a bowling ball though?
I palm it.
You palm it.
Yeah, I just
like
palm
a normal
it.
Person palms a yeah.
No, I went bowling with like we did this like double date with some neighbors once, and I didn't. You know, I thought we were just gonna have fun, and this guy was like a ringer, but that's how he bowled. Like he didn't.
Oh, he didn't.
He didn't put the fingers in. Like he had it palmed, and he would just sit there and just spin it.
Yeah, when I do, I can hear the when I roll it. You can hear my finger,
and then it goes way up in the air and lands, and puts a dent in the wood.
Yeah, don't throw it 5 feet or higher. That's kind of the target.
So the bowling class, you bowl an opening round, and I bowled like an 85, and then we closed, and I bowled like an 80, and he was like, "You got worse. I can't pass you." I was like,
I'd love to see LaBelle going over your transcripts. I'm like, Hans, how do we flunk bowling?
You're
academically ineligible again because of bowling?
When I went back to graduate, they sent my transcripts over, and there it was, man, bowling, whatever, bowling 101 and big old F, and I'm like, I'd like to find that instructor and give him a knuckle sandwich.
They probably actually put your score, like your bowling score on there, too. Not just the 80. Yeah. The 80.
Yeah. Maybe they just took my score and transitioned it right into a letter grade.
Oh, man.
52.
You know the worst grade I got in college was in music, music 101. Because I'm like, how hard can it be? So I like showed up to a test, and they're like, what instrument is this? And they'd play it, and everybody's like, oh, that's the bassoon or whatever. I'm like, I have no idea what that is.
The bassoon.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what it is. Anyway, all right, Austin, you got so much good stuff going on down here, man. The arcades are just hopping now. And tell you what, people have figured out this is the place. It didn't take long for people to find it on your opening day.
Yeah, we just opened this morning. The rain clouds are here. So, hey, Fat Cats all indoors. Come in here, play some games, go bowling, go see a movie, all the good stuff.
So many things to do here. Talk about the mini golf. We haven't talked about that mini golf course that you've got.
Yeah, it's a brand new design. It's our second one in one of our centers. It's a glow-in-the-dark. It's a brand new. It's a space-themed. It's actually kind of challenging. It's not your normal putt-putt course. You're going to have to show up and play some. Yeah, you want to get a hole-in-one, you're going to have to try some.
Wow. Well, you got great food, as we've witnessed, and we saw the pizza. But whether you just want a great popcorn for your movies or chicken fingers or burgers or whatever, and I love the fact it's all delivered to you. You pay your ticket, you go. You order your food, you go sit down, and all of a sudden you're going to see somebody come up to your seat and say, "Sir, here's the here's all your food. Let's go."
Here's your other meat lovers you ordered, sir. If you're going bowling, they'll bring it over to your lanes. You're in the theater, they're gonna find you and bring you your food.
That's so cool. It's so cool. That's high service right there. It's a fun day. It's a fun getaway with the family. Come check it out. As Austin's mentioned, it's half price. So you're going to get some incredible things through June.
Yeah, half-price arcade through June 9th. So our next 2 weeks, half-price arcade.
Let's get down here.
You win those tickets and go exchange them for toys. And the kids love that stuff. Come in and have a ball.
And by the way, you go to some places where you have, you worked all this, put in all this effort to get all these tickets, and then you got, four Beanie Babies. And, here, take a pick. That's a big part of your place.
They got Switches and Xboxes and... I think they even have a TV in there, but yeah, you get some small plush stuff, but like you said, Beanie Babies, but yeah, all the way up to gaming systems. It's awesome.
It's really cool, man. Congratulations. This place is awesome.
Yeah, love you guys, and it's great to have you guys out, and you're always here every Friday now. You guys better start coming.
There we go. Let's do it.
Every Friday. I would love it, man. Just call it the Fat Cats Fridays, and we'll just be out here bowling.
Start something great right now.
Yeah, it'll be great. Thanks for having us out, Austin.
Yeah, thanks for coming, guys.
Remember, half price through what, June 9th? Is that what you said?
June 9th,
on the arcades.
Arcade, yep.
13901 Redwood here in Bluffdale. Get on down. Take advantage of it. Beautiful location. It's opening day. It's Fat Cats right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. See ya.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.